Good morning, church. Turn, if you would, to the Old Testament, Exodus. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to keep studying the Ten Commandments this morning. Exodus 20. I'm going to read one verse from that chapter, one of the commandments. Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12 says, listen to the word of the Lord. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is the fifth commandment. And as the fifth commandment, it not only numerically is kind of the transition, but also in its theme, in the topic it's dealing with, it's transitioning from the first four commandments. Remember what the first four commandments are about. What are they? No other gods, no idols, the name of the Lord, don't use it in vain, rest on the Sabbath day. The first four commandments are about our responsibilities toward God, right? And now this verse, it begins a new section of commandments about our responsibilities to other people. So the rest of the commandments are going to be about how you treat other people. Sexually, regarding their possessions, no adultery, don't steal, don't lie, don't covet, etc. Right? So our responsibilities toward God are the first four, and then our responsibilities toward other people. But this commandment, this fifth one about honor your father and mother, is actually about both sets of responsibilities. Okay? So it's simultaneously about our treatment of God, believe it or not, and about our treatment of other people. Our parents in particular, those other people. Okay? And the way that it can be about both God and other people, namely our parents, at the same time is because of something Jesus said in the New Testament. Mark already read it to us this morning before he prayed. Thank you, brother, for doing that. Jesus said that the greatest commandment of all is to love who? Who, church? The Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. But then Jesus goes on and he says the second greatest commandment of all is to love the Lord, is to love your neighbor as yourself, right? But here's what Jesus said about it. I don't know if you missed this little word that is in the text that Mark read, that the second greatest commandment is like the first greatest commandment. It's like it. That word like. And what that means is that obedience to the first commandment, love the Lord your God, has to be reflected in our obedience to the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. It's like the first. The first has to be reflected in the second. So our vertical relationship to God and our horizontal relationships to other people have to be in harmony. They have to be in harmony. I mean, even in the New Testament, the Apostle John said, you can't say, I love God, and then hate your brother. That can't happen. Because then you're not really loving God. So that state doesn't exist where you actually are loving God and actually are mistreating someone else. No, the love of God is evaporated in that place, in that moment, in your heart. So they have to both be in harmony, loving the Lord your God and loving your neighbors as yourself, and in particular, our parents. So our relationships to other people matter. Let me go further. Let me finish that statement. Our relationships to other people matter as deeply to God as our relationship to Him. But there's one set of relationships that takes precedence over all the other relationships in our lives. And it's our relationship with our parents. See, the first four commandments, as I said, are about our duty to honor God in the way that God has commanded us to honor Him, right? That's what it's about. And this fifth commandment is the logical next step. Honoring our parents that God gave us. Or should I say, honoring the parents actually that God gave us to. You know what that actually does when we change the sentence that way? It delivers us from our self-centered orientation. He gave us our parents. No, actually, God gave you to them. First, at least, He gave you to them. It's both, I realize. But this is in the context of honoring God. Honoring your parents is given in the context of honoring God. Honoring your parents is the first step to honoring God and loving your neighbor. You see, our relationship with our parents is the first relationship you and I ever have. It's the foundation for all the other relationships in our lives. So how we relate to our parents is important for our lives on a whole lot of levels. It has to do with our relationship with God, and it affects our relationship with other people. So let me give you a couple of big ideas this morning. First of all is this. Number one, honoring our parents is important for society. Let's go outward first. Let's go to loving our neighbor first. And let's think about this together. Honoring our parents is important for society. Now, remember this. God Himself is a father. Okay? He's a parent. He's a father. And who is He the father of? The Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? But He's not only the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's also the father of every Christian. Every person who's saved by Christ's sacrifice has God as their father. And when God created mankind way back in the beginning, Genesis, when God made mankind, He created families. God made Adam, and He gave him a wife. They had children. That was God's doing. That was God's creation. And so that what that means is that as a father Himself who created families, God cares enormously about families. Because they're God's idea. Families are God's idea. And God made families, the family, to be the basic social unit of society. Okay? Each little family, and we have many of them in here this morning, each little family in a society, and we're just in one little corner of society, you might say, one little pocket of society, but every little family in society affects the community around it. The neighborhood you live in, the people you work with, the people you interact with at school, and the clubs you're involved in, the activities, you affect the community around you as a family, not just as an individual. And so when one family breaks down, other families are affected. And then those families affect others. You know, let me put it to you this way. How can one little family have so much effect on society? Well, here's an old poem that illustrates this really well. For the loss of a nail, the horseshoe was lost. And for the loss of the horseshoe, the horse was lost. And for the loss of the horse, the rider was lost. And for the loss of the rider, the battle was lost. And for the loss of the battle, the war was lost. All because of a nail and a horseshoe, right? Affected the war. Well, let me ask you this. How much more devastating is it when countless horseshoe nails are lost in countless horses? Are you with me? I mean, that's what's been happening in countless families in our culture. The effects of the breakdown of so many families, it is devastating. It's devastating our society. Listen, no nation is strong and stable where the family is weak and fractured. When the family breaks down, society breaks down, and nations crumble. And Aren't we watching it happen before our very eyes? Aren't we watching this happen to our own nation, to our own country? I mean, we're watching our society become increasingly fractured and dysfunctional and tribal and immoral and hostile and violent, right? Are we not watching this happen before our eyes? And a lot, there are a lot of reasons for that happening. I understand things like abandoning God in public life. You think that's not going to have devastating effects on the culture? We're watching it happen. And what happens when you abandon God in public life? Well, it creates a vacuum where other dangerous ideas come in and begin to spread. And so do destructive sins. And that spreading is just accelerated by the hyperconnectivity of the internet. But make no mistake about it, whatever other reasons are involved in the breakdown of society, make no mistake whatsoever in your mind that we are watching before our eyes years and years of the devastating snowball effects of the disintegration of the family. That's what we're watching. Culturally, across the culture. As I said, God created the family. And when he created the family, he built families. He built into those families certain responsibilities for both parents and for children. He built these responsibilities, and both parties have a responsibility. And the disintegration of the family happens really in two significant ways. Two significant ways. First, it happens through, and I'm just going to make this really simple, one of the ways the family breaks down is through the neglect of parents, of their children, and even the abandonment of children by their parents. We see this all through culture, right? And the second way works the other direction. It's the rejection of parental authority and parental influence by their children. That's the breakdown as well. So the breakdown's happening in both directions. God didn't design it that way. That's the effects of sin, which we all bring to the table. We all bring that into our families. Don't think you don't. God designed the family, actually, to be a place where we learn how to live well. By the way, that includes parents' responsibility to teach children how to live well before the Lord. Teach them the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Okay, but the family is a place where God designed it, to where we learn how to live well, and we learn how to live well pleasing in His sight. It's in our relationship to our parents that we learn to have someone in authority over us. For example, it's where the family is where we have to learn how to listen to people, and where we have to learn how to honor them, respect them. It's in the family that we have to learn that we have to do some. Sometimes we have to do things that we don't want to do. It's in the family where we have to, where we're supposed to be learning this. It's where we learn how to live with other people, how to trust, how to have mutual respect with other people. It's where we learn about respect and obedience. And hopefully, it's also where we learn about love and protection. It's where our children are supposed to learn that from us, and we're supposed to learn that from our parents. I mean, the things I just described to you are the things that make us civilized. So it's not too much to say. It's not too much to say that loving your neighbor actually begins with loving and respecting and listening to your parents. That's loving your neighbor as yourself. Your parents are your neighbor, and your children are your neighbor. And it begins by loving and respecting and listening to your parents. Number two, there's another big idea. Let's go to the first commandment, as it were. Honoring our parents is important to God. Honoring our parents is important to God. So this is bigger than us. This is bigger than our culture. This is bigger than our society. Listen. Honor your father and your mother is a serious commandment. This is not a suggestion. God's not hoping you'll do this for your own good only. He is commanding this. And he means it. Let me show you just how seriously God takes this. I want you to hear this, and I want you to let it sink in by God's grace. Let it sink in on you how serious this is. I'm going to read to you from Deuteronomy 21. Just listen. God himself utters these words. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious child, he will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. And though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this, our child, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, which, by the way, tells you something a little bit maybe about the age of this child. It's not just a little kid. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall, you ready for this? Shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Honoring our parents is a big deal to God. In fact, in Exodus 21, just bad-mouthing your parents was deserving of execution. Look it up. And it didn't even matter that they were bad parents. It didn't even matter that they were bad parents. See, this is about something way bigger than your mom and dad. And if you're not taking it seriously, you're not taking God seriously. This is about God. And it's about God's authority over you and me. And it's about the authorities that God has, like it or not, put over you. Starting with your parents. St. Augustine said, if anyone fails to honor their parents, is there anyone they will spare? John Calvin said, those who abusively or stubbornly violate parental authority are monsters, not men. This is heavy. This is heavy. In fact, the Hebrew word for honor is the word kabod. You know the word, even in popular literature, as Ichabod. Ichabod. Ikabod. Glory has departed is what Ichabod means, but kabod means glory, but it also means weight. You ever heard someone talk about the weight of glory? It's almost a redundancy to say that, but it makes the point here for us in English because that word in Hebrew has both ideas in it. So what that means is to be a parent is a heavy thing, and to honor our parents is a weighty thing to God. That's why not only is dishonoring our parents, even bad-mouthing our parents, not only is that condemned by God, but honoring our parents will be blessed by God. It's the other side of the coin as well. Listen to the promise attached to the end of this commandments in verse 12. Look at it if you've still got that open. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, in Ephesians 6, Paul gives a variation of the translation here when he says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. So this is about more than just living a long life. And by the way, just parenthesis here, this is not promising individual long life to individuals. This is about God giving longevity to the community as they obey this as a community. This is about church life or community life in ancient Israel. This is about more than living a long life. It's about living a good life. You want to live a good life? Who doesn't? You want to live an abundant life? God says, honor your father and mother. You'll live a good life. I'll give you an abundant life. So if you want to enjoy life, if you want to enjoy a life full of God's blessings, then you'll listen to your mom and dad. Now, God could have just said, listen to your mom and dad, or else. He could have just said that. But instead, he said, you're going to want to do this. I mean, don't you want to experience my blessings throughout your life? You will if you honor your parents. That's how God says it. So we honor the Lord when we honor our parents. And we dishonor the Lord when we dishonor our parents. Do you hear that? You dishonor the Lord when you dishonor your parents. You can't be right with the Lord when you're not right with your parents. It doesn't matter how old we are, by the way. Whether we're living at home or out on our own. Doesn't matter if we're adult children, teen children, or children. Doesn't matter. This commandment holds. Commandment still applies. You don't get out of this when the day you get married or the day you move out. You don't get out of this. Just honor your father and mother. Now, the way we may honor our parents may change throughout different stages of our lives, but on all of us, God imposes this obligation and makes us this promise. Honor your father and mother, obligation, promise. I'll give you good, abundant life. I'll bless you. Third idea, number three, how to honor our parents. What exactly does it mean to honor your parents? How do you do it? Well, no matter how old you are, how independent you may be or think you are, how do you actually do this? Well, I told you that honor means weight or glory, but it also has other ideas packed into it as well. And some of these are going to be easier for you to recognize when I tell you what they are. Honor means to prize highly, right? To prize highly. And it means to care for. It means to respect. It means to obey. All those ideas. So let's just break that down into two categories. It's a matter of our attitude, and it's a matter of the way we treat our parents. So it's a matter of both our attitude toward our parents and our treatment of our parents. Which means, by the way, that we honor our parents in all kinds of ways. Big ways, little ways, all kinds of ways. But let me make it simple. Let me give you three ideas here as we go. Honoring our parents requires three things. First is obedience, or respect, rather. Respect. We'll get to obedience in a moment. Respect. Let's start with the attitude, which is more than just attitude. It's also treatment. So honoring our parents means respecting them. Just for being our parents. We are required by God to respect them. Not because they're always deserving of it. As a dad myself, I'm very aware of, I hope at least most, of my deficiencies and my shortcomings and my sins toward my kids. I've had to apologize to my kids for those things. I expect I'll have to do it again. I'll expect I'll have to do it some more. And there are times when they don't even know about it, but there are times when I have said to myself, I can't believe I just said that. Or I can't believe I just did that. So it's not because we parents are always deserving of respect that we are to be honored. It's because of the position of authority. And the position of, it's more than that also, it's responsibility that God gave to us for our children. So to respect our parents is to esteem them highly. But see, that starts with the heart. It starts with the heart. I mean, let me ask you, before God, what is your attitude toward your mom? What is your attitude toward your dad, living or dead? Do you respect them in your heart? Because what's in your heart, it will come out of you both in the ways you speak to them and the way you speak about them to other people. It'll come out that. It'll come out your mouth. And I was taught by my dad's example and my mom and dad's insistence, I was taught to say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Now, in the South, that's what we do. Now, people from up north think maybe that's rude, but in the South, that's showing respect. And I was taught to do that to anyone who was over me in authority or older than me. Didn't matter who they were, strangers or not, red and yellow, black and white, didn't matter the color, didn't matter any of that. They're older than me or over me in authority. It's yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am, no, sir. And speaking to them respectfully means at least giving them the honor they're due, even in the way you address them. But it's way more than that, right? I mean, that's just the first step of your interactions with them. Honoring your parents and speaking to them respectfully, it's going to mean never talking back to them, never shouting at them. Listen, it's safer to keep your mouth shut and keep quiet than to be disrespectful. And speaking to them respectfully means always being honest to them. Even if it means you know that if you tell all the details, if you're completely honest, you might not get what you want. You might not get your way. But by the way, that's how you get your parents to trust you, which is what you want, right? So be respectful by listening. And not just listening, but listening attentively to your parents. That's respect. Not ignoring them, not interrupting them, not arguing with them, and never insulting them. And if you're listening and you're struggling with what they're saying to you, sure, you can ask questions. I hope you have the freedom to ask questions. And parents, we need to give our children that freedom to ask questions to try to clarify something they don't understand. But don't argue. So you can be disrespectful not only in your words, but also with your body language. Rolling your eyes at your parents, crossing your arms and looking the other way when they're talking to you, walking off in an angry huff, whatever, blowing them off, staring at them aggressively. Body language. Because it is also very disrespectful to speak arrogantly and rudely to your parents. And if you don't treat them respectfully, you can hardly expect to be respected yourself. So go home today. Let me challenge you to do something. It'll be hard. Some of you need to man up and go home and ask your parents, how do you feel respected by me? And how do you feel disrespected by me? And listen without defending yourself and take it to heart. So honoring your parents means respect. Secondly, it means obedience, as I mentioned. Obedience. Obedience means that we do what our parents say while we're a part of their household. We do what our parents say while we are part of their household. Because as long as you're still in their household, you're still dependent, like it or not. And so you're still under their authority, like it or not. So when they say make your bed or take out the trash or mow the yard, you do it. And you do it when they tell you to do it. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. And disobedience, well, what's that? Well, that's dishonoring to God. There's a word for that. Sin. Even when you're grown and you're out on your own, listen, some of you are in here like this, you're out on your own. Honoring your parents, what does it mean then? Well, it means making an effort to do their wishes whenever you can. Making an effort to do their wishes whenever you can. Paul said in Ephesians 6 that we're to obey our parents, quote, in the Lord, unquote. Which means obeying our parents is part of our devotion to Jesus. It's part of our devotion to Jesus. Now, let me ask you this. Can parents abuse their authority? Yes, of course. Sometimes we do abuse our authority, and it's wrong when we do that. That's an abuse of love. That's an abuse of the command to love our neighbor as ourselves, our children being our neighbor in that instance. So parents are supposed to love their neighbors too, starting with their kids. And since love is our primary responsibility, we parents are not to be heavy-handed and controlling tyrants who mistreat our children or cause them to feel resentment. In fact, Ephesians 6 says that we're not to provoke our children to anger. And sometimes our general approach to parenting kind of does that. And it produces in them sometimes a low-grade fever of anger all the time. And sometimes it bursts out. Now, sometimes that's our doing, and sometimes it's their rebellion. Sometimes it's both. But we're not to provoke our children to anger. In fact, one way you could translate that is don't exasperate them. That's a failure to love and respect our kids and to fail to love and respect the Lord Himself. I mean, how do we love and respect our children? By wanting to see them mature and to mature and have joy and to see them increase. And we should want, by their maturity, as they grow, to increase, to see them increasingly free to make their own decisions as they demonstrate wisdom, as they grow up. We should want that. So what we're training them for is for adulthood. To not make every decision for them. But that leads us to the last idea here is gratitude. Honoring our parents requires respect, obedience, and gratitude. Hey, kids and teens, 20-somethings, listen. You need to know something about your parents. We really love to do nice things for you. Most of the time. We really do. You need to know that about your mom and dad. They really do like to do nice things for you most of the time. We really don't mind working hard day in and day out to take care of you and provide for you. We don't mind that. And we even like to do things that bring you some kind of joy in life. We really do. But you know what would be really nice? If you didn't just forget it instantly or just take it for granted generally. It would be really nice. See, gratitude is one of the main ways we honor our parents. So, you know, before you're a parent yourself, you don't understand that the life of a parent is the life of constant sacrifice. You don't understand it. You will when you have kids. But before you're a parent, you don't understand it is a life of not occasional sacrifice, it is constant sacrifice. It's joyful, as I said, but it's a sacrifice of time, of energy. Oh, the energy. It's a sacrifice of sleep. Come on, parents, right? Are you with me? Am I onto something? Yeah. It's a sacrifice of money. Every week, every month, it's a sacrifice of your desires in life. It's a sacrifice of sometimes even tears. So one of the ways we can show honor to those who've done all that for us is by simply being grateful. Being grateful. And you can do that by saying a simple thank you and saying it a lot. But one of the most grateful things you can do is actually help your parents out. It's to lighten their load. That's gratitude, when you help lighten their load. And when they're old, lightening their load may mean taking care of them when they can no longer care for themselves. You know, in the New Testament, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for claiming to keep the fifth commandment while actually breaking it. Because they were leaving their aged parents destitute. They were saying, oh, I don't have any money left to help take care of your needs because I give all my money to the ministry. I give it to charity. I don't have any left for you. That's breaking the fifth commandment. It's dishonoring parents. It's a lack of gratitude. So all of us, no matter how old we are or how old our parents are, we actually, all of us, owe our parents a huge debt of gratitude for years of provision, years of care. The New Testament teaches us that honoring our parents is the natural outflow of having been saved by God from a life of rebellion to our Heavenly Father. And we're saved by the selfless sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Saved by sacrifice. Loved by sacrifice. Just like parents do children. God did it in the most spectacular way. I mean, the gospel tells us that God our Father loves us. And He made the greatest sacrifice for us that could possibly be imagined. He sacrificed His child, His son. And think about what Jesus did as the son to His Father. In total submission to His Father, Jesus Christ descended from His glorious throne in heaven, and He spent His life obeying His Father from the heart in every detail. He honored His Father in every way imaginable. Honored His Father. He obeyed His Father even to the point of death on a cross. Jesus died for our sins, our disobedience to the Father, for our dishonoring of God our whole lives long. He died for that. So He took the death penalty. Remember the Old Testament talks about the death penalty? Kids, we dishonor their parents. Jesus took it. Jesus took the death penalty that we rightly deserve for all our rebellion and all our dishonor and all our disobedience to both our earthly parents and to our heavenly parent, God Himself. And when we turn from the rebellion and the dishonor and the disobedience, when we turn from that way of life, what happens? What's the response on God's side? When we turn from that, Jesus will run toward us. Like the father of the prodigal son, with His arms wide open, eager to embrace us in joyful love. He desires us. And instead of being angry for what we've done to Him and His Father, instead of turning us over to be killed for what we've done, like the Old Testament says, He throws us a welcome home party to celebrate. He puts His robe on us. He puts His ring on us. I mean, He's getting supper ready. I mean, there's music, there's dancing, because now you're back. You're back, safe and sound. And that's what the invitation of the gospel is. It says, come home where you're loved. Come back to your Father who loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And just come and gratefully enjoy His grace. Listen, there's no greater way to honor God the Father than to turn around and to leave the pig trough of your own rebellious choosing and find your home in Jesus' arms. Let's pray. So, Father, we ask that You would help us to turn around from the pig trough of this world that we keep pursuing and leaving the people in our lives that You've called us to honor and love, to leaving them behind without a care in our hearts for them. Forgive us for the million times, the many times that we've dishonored our parents and dishonored You, God. We're all guilty. Forgive us. But Lord, would you do more than forgive us? Would you please change us? Will you change our hearts from being hard-hearted and arrogant and self-absorbed? And would you help us come today to bend the knee to you and to bow before you with our heads bowed and with sorrow in our hearts for our sins, even this particular sin of violating the fifth commandment? Would you wrap your arms around us in love and forgiveness and help us to obey this commandment to your glory out of gratitude for your love for us and your forgiveness of us? Jesus, change us from the inside out. And may our outward works and words prove to be the evidence of a changed heart and attitude toward the people you've put over us in authority and over us in influence and over us in responsibility and love. Make us a people who honor those you've given us to, beginning with our parents. In Jesus' name, amen.